Let us pause for a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. So summer is here. The sun is shining. So I put on my Happy Beat playlist on Spotify when I walk around along the street. Everything should be bright and shining, right? But then suddenly the clouds come quickly. It rains again in Geneva. That doesn't help with the summertime mood. And sometimes when you wake up in the morning, it's much more chilly than it should be. So it kind of spoils the summertime mood, isn't it? We have different seasons, so we have expectations for the seasons. Summertime should be positive and happy. Storms, lightning, the wet weather should be for another season, a few months down the road. So I guess when we hear the two out of the three readings today, there's something jarring and difficult to fit during this season, where we prefer something more uplifting and inspiring. In the Old Testament reading, what struck me was this prophecy from Amos was about judgment. It was about doom. The picture is full of destruction, rubble, violence. I mean, Amos quotes here the Lord saying, "I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword." I mean, this is as gloomy as you can get. No sunshine here. And then we go to the gospel reading, which we read earlier. We are confronted with a tragic end of the life of John the Baptist. Now, shouldn't our prophets have better endings? But it doesn't go with their profile, with their occupation. In his case, it was even worse. It felt senseless, inconceivable, messy, violent. I mean, it's all there. I mean, the picture of his head on a platter is too horrific even to imagine. So here we have like the dark clouds or even the storm covering the gospel story. Now, what we have in the scriptures are honest, raw, and very real depictions of what has happened to God's people. It's surely not the chicken soup for the soul with only feel-good stories. There's plenty of bitterness, bitter tastes, that makes us puzzled. Now, where is the sunshine in the midst of these storms or these dark clouds? But I'm thankful that the Bible is so blatantly honest about our human conditions. The scriptures are so honest about the struggles that we face on a daily basis in our world. It doesn't shy away from showing us the evils in the world that still plagues us till today. Now, of course, there are some preachers on television or in other ways to try to preach a gospel that tries to soften these realities or to say that, no, if you have faith and you're blessed, then you wouldn't need to go through all of this. But you and I know that that is not true. The world is still messy. The world is broken. The world is sick. And some might say the world is still cursed or even doomed. Okay, I look around here, everyone. We are honest Christians here, right? We are honest people. We face the world honestly. We don't want to sugarcoat it. Are we really totally doomed and cursed by the effects of sin, death, the devil, or evil? I found the book by my friend Brian McLaren, his recent book, quite interesting. He entitled it, Life After Doom. Now, he really has good titles. Life After Doom. Is there life after doom? How can we live if we don't want to just have an illusion, you know, as if everything is fine. I mean, how do we live if we don't want to put our heads in the sand and just ignore everything? How can we live if we don't want to slip into total despair? So here comes the passage we have today from Ephesians. This circular letter to the church in Ephesus and probably to the surrounding churches in the Asia region of that time. It's one long sentence. In English, you could almost do it without comma. Apparently, scholars tell us in Greek, it's one long sentence with no pause, one long blessing. And at first, we might wonder, you know, what does this mean? Well, I would like to suggest that just keep your ears open for the next 6 weeks because you have Ephesians throughout the whole readings. But it starts with a big bang of blessing, and then the rest follows. Now, I know most of you, maybe like me, let's go quickly to the blessing, but let's just hold on for a while. It's good to get a sense of the audience, those who are listening to this blessing. Where did they come from? You know, what was their state of mind? Now, the origin story of the church in Ephesus is found in the book of Acts, chapter 19. It reminds us, and in summary, that the church started there with much tension. There was even riots and violence. Paul, ready to be taken to the court, so to speak, accused of stirring the riots. It was a difficult moment for the church to start. It was also a church that was, of course, made up of Gentiles, figuring out what does it mean to be with Jewish Christians, and they were familiar with the spiritual forces of darkness. And these are the forces that they recognize were still at work as they were hearing these words throughout the whole letter of Ephesians. Especially if you jump to the back of Ephesians, it talks about we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, and the forces of darkness. Right? Now, some of us think that this is only for those who are very super spiritual who talk about this, but no, it's found in the Bible. That there are these, we still live in very evil days. Now, in addition, the church was also still wrestling with themselves, their own identity. They were familiar with the struggles of their past. They were people who were once dead in trespasses, if you read further on. They were strangers, people who were alienated, far off. In fact, there was a phrase that caught my attention when they said they were people having no hope without God in the world. And they still faced plenty of hostility, division, and all the forces that were causing disunity within the church. So we're struggling with their past, they were struggling with their present, and they were also wrestling how they would live towards the future. They were confronted with falsehood, bitterness, anger. So they're figuring out all of this in the midst of the messiness, the brokenness, the cursedness, or the doomedness of their life. They were encouraged to be strong in the midst of all of these things. So when you look at this blessing, so you wonder, what does it really mean? Because the author of Ephesians is not just giving a pep talk as if, you know, with all of this, just forget about your problems and just be happy, escape the world to the heavens, or maybe today we might say escape to the inner world of some kind of mindfulness. Forget about all these things. No. This blessing was spoken into a group of people who may have the tendency to dwell on the negative or the mess, but the blessing helps to zoom us out, zoom them and us out of ourselves to a bigger vision of who God is and how God looks at the world and how God looks at us and what is God doing, so that we can zoom out for a little while and then zoom back in to the world with fresh eyes, with the lens of blessing, a lens of hope, so to recenter ourselves with life, purpose, and peace. God here reaches out towards us lifts us up. And here it says in Ephesians 1, God blesses us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Interestingly, the author says in the heavenly places. But then later, he also grounds us back to what is on earth. And if you finish the whole letter of Ephesians, it is very grounded into very practical things of everyday life. So what is this blessing about? It includes us, but it's really about God. It's about God's movement towards us, what God is doing. God has chosen us. God destined us. God redeems us. God forgives us. God reveals the mystery of God's will. God gives us his inheritance. God sealed us with the promise of the Holy Spirit. The God focus is crystal clear. In one breath, this long blessing, and for some systematic theologians who enjoy these kind of doctrinal reflections, would find all the significant doctrines of Christ packed into this one long blessing. And the Bible tells, and Ephesians tells us, in the fullness of time, all things in him, in heaven and on earth. Now, where is this happening? Not just in a distant future, but in the here and now. In the midst of all the gloom and doom, hopelessness and despair. And because of this blessing that God has showered upon us in Christ that was mentioned so many times, that is why we can say we were the first to hope in Christ. Then our hope is not just mere wishful thinking, but it's grounded in the realities of our everyday struggles and challenges. So friends, today the message for us today is that God blesses you, blesses me, blesses us. We are blessed. A blessing that is deeper into our humanity and higher than our limited human perspectives. In a very interesting book by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie entitled The Lives We Actually Have, 100 Blessings for Imperfect Days. I like that title too. 100 Blessings. I think we need that. I learned the importance, I was reminded of the importance of blessing in a new light. And this is what they say. The act of blessing is the strange and vital work of noticing what is true about God and ourselves. There's more. They continue. In the act of blessing, blessing the world as it is, and as it should be, we are starting to, and I really like this, we are starting to reassemble what we know. Maybe, they said, you are here in the midst of this grief, or maybe, God, you are here in the midst of this grief. Maybe, God, you can provide for this specific problem, or be discoverable when I'm buttering this toast. And I love this part where it says, blessings put our spiritual house in order, even when our circumstances are entirely out of order. So practically, what does it mean? So they continue. When I bless the actual days I'm living, I suddenly find I have a great deal more to say that is honest. I'm mourning. I'm bored. I'm exhausted. I'm apathetic. I discover I'm freed from the need to declare everything hashtag blessed. Good or bad, I don't have to wait to say something spiritually true. I can simply bless it all instead. And I found these words very encouraging to relook at the word blessing, because some of us may have come from pietistic Christian traditions where we only are blessed if we are good people, if we have got everything sorted out, then we are really blessed. But it's reversing everything around, that whatever that is there, God's blessing is willing to come, to us first, and then we can be a blessing to others. In fact, in her book, The 100 Blessings I was talking about, she had these subtitles, and I thought I'll mention a few just to bring it more practically. She says things like, bless the ordinary life, bless this tired life, bless this lovely life, bless this grief-stricken life, bless this overwhelming life, bless this painful life, bless this garbage life, bless the lives of others, bless this beautiful limited life, bless this holy life. And of course, her last chapter was bless this Advent, and I'll add my own, bless this summer. We need it, really, because the world has gone mad and crazy. It's so easy to just slip into a doom and gloom. While we acknowledge it, we may forget to reconnect with the God of blessing that is here today. So this summer, I guess there will be a mix of sunshine and rain, plenty of gloom and doom to some extent, but it can be and it should be a season of blessing too. In fact, when I look around this worship space now, where there's such openness, as the people of God, we come open to God, following Christ and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We gather and worship around the table regularly to reconnect with this long-lasting blessing from God, who showers us with every spiritual blessing. So as we come for communion afterwards, we come as we are. We bring whatever we have, both the joys, the gratitude, but also the mess, the brokenness, the violence in the world, in our lives, and in our world. We come to the Holy Communion with postures of open hands, which represents our open hearts, open minds, an open posture to receive God's blessing. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we hear the words, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, we are drawn back in Christ again. And especially when we hear the words, my body given for you. Now that's a very powerful blessing of God's life given for us. And we come formed by weakness, carrying our frailty, our need for forgiveness, and we hear the promise, my blood shed for you. And as God's people, we take these cups, you know, the dark cups or the light cups. And I was very intrigued by this phrase in the song we will sing afterwards in response to the sermon. We are the cup that holds God's grace. And I would extend it that we are the cup that holds God's blessings. So as we are blessed today, let us bring this blessing to all those around us in this season and even more. Amen.